Chapter number 18 tonight, Matthew chapter 18, and I was going to title this, but yeah, we're going to title it this. We're still in the faith series, but I'm going to title it, Consider the Children, Consider the Children. And so Matthew chapter number 18, and I wish some of Regina's little ones was here. Use them for an example, but sometimes when I use them in doing what I do, it makes them think that they can do that all the time. But so anyway, so let's pick up our reading, verse number 1, Matthew chapter 18, verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now before we go any further, I want to make note of who we're talking about. Who is in this scene? Who is in? Who is this discourse being held with? It's the disciples and Jesus. All right. So, verse number 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save and to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. And again, the conversation goes through verse 35, and then verse chapter 19, and it came to pass, then when he finished these, they departed. But then if you'll note, just we'll throw this in here, chapter number 19, verse number 13, then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the time of prayer and the privilege of prayer. Pray and ask that you guide and direct the message and the thoughts that you've laid upon my heart. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. But I'd like to direct us again. We are talking, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And no, it doesn't mean, offenses do come. It does pronounce the woe to those that does come. But it's interesting that he talked about to his disciples about offending these little ones and despising not the little ones. But then in the very next chapter, they rebuked, And the disciples, they rebuked the little ones, or they rebuked the ones bringing the little ones to Jesus. And so I just don't quite get it. And it's interesting, another one of the one of the Gospels, I can't remember if it's Mark or Luke, in that particular, said it was John that did the rebuking. And John was probably the youngest of the disciples, and probably no more than a mere teenager himself. But he rebuked the people that was bringing the little ones to him. So I didn't understand all that, and that's not my message tonight. But it was something that I read, and something I'm planning on to consider for my future understanding and knowledge in the Word of God. But here in verse number 3, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." He's talking to his disciples here. And of course, they are wondering who's going to be the greatest. And of course, we know that another passage of Scripture was one of them's mother, James and John, probably, and their mother come and ask, basically wanting one to sit on the right hand, one to sit on the left. And they're all thinking about the kingdom and who's going to be the greatest and who's going to be. In fact, the other passages of Scripture, Mark and Luke, in both of them, Mark 9 and Luke 9, when you read that passage of Scripture about this, it said they were even just thinking about it, who was going to be the greatest. They didn't come to him and ask him like Matthew says. They was just thinking about it. And then Jesus, knowing their thoughts, brought the little child in between them and gave them the discourse in those passages of Scripture. But we see here, and it was interesting to me, just the words that Matthew uses here in verse number 3, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So we that have been converted are obviously going to go into the kingdom of heaven. But the phrase there, "and become as little children," you know, the Bible tells us, and we're very familiar with this, and it's not even in my notes, but you know the wording here in the Gospel of John, and still my new Bible, chapter number 1, and verse number 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not," verse number 12, "but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So those believers born of God into the family, if you will, become the sons of God. So we are his sons. And we that are converted are to become as, the Bible tells us, as, he's talking to his disciples there, become as little children. So again, my message tonight, my thought tonight is consider the children. And again, we're talking about faith, and we'll get to the faith part in a minute. But consider the children. I think of all the children that was running around here on Sunday. Whew. I mean, Brother Tim's two grand youngins, and all the the Huffmans. That's what, Regina's wasn't here on Sunday morning. But if they had been here, I mean, that'd be something else. But all the little ones that was running around, and then Ralphie, I like him. Just something. And Eric said, "Yeah, he's either quiet or he's not." And so, I told him, I said, the little interaction that I've had with him, and then it makes me miss my grand youngins back in Kentucky. But anyway, I do like him, and just there's just something about him. I like him. Anyway, but we're to become as we look and consider the children. You know, a lot of us, has been a long time since we've been a little child. Amen. But we are to become as a little child. And as a son of God, I believe we are to walk as a little child. Amen. And here's some things I want to point out. Little children are caring. You know, so many times adults are just so calloused about things. Amen. And I do appreciate this about this church. We are a caring church to the best of you know, my knowledge and just what I've seen in the weeks that I've been the pastor here. And you have a genuine desire to see folks come in and to hear the gospel and to be saved. And we see that in a little child. You know, you're out on the playground, somebody falls and scratches their knee, and then it seems like two or three others, you know, one of them will help the other one up. And there's no prejudice in a little child. They're just, you know, they all gather around and, you know, see what's going on and try to do what they can do. for the one that's hurt. They're tender, you know. And then carefree, you know. They don't worry. And we've been talking about faith the last several Wednesday nights, you know, and then the last week was sustaining faith in Matthew chapter number 6. You know, he takes care of the lily of the field. He takes care of the grass of the field. He takes care of the fowl of the air. He feeds them and he clothes them. You know, a little child, they're carefree. They wake up, mama's got their clothes ready for them. Mama's done washed their clothes. Mama's mended their clothes. They don't have to worry about that button that come off because mama done put it back on, hopefully, amen. But nowadays, mamas don't even know how to sew a button on. Amen. Some of them don't. But thank the Lord for the Air Force and mama and stepmama and grandmother that taught me how to sew a button on and do other mending. Amen. Anyway, I can do it myself. But the little kid don't have to worry about it. There's times that Lisa's getting ready. She wants to wear a particular outfit. I'm already ready. She's getting rest, and button comes off. I said, "Well, give it to me. I'll sew it on." And so I sew her buttons on. She sews my buttons on. Whatever. But the little kid don't have to worry about that. They don't have to worry about even knowing how, because mom and daddy's going to take care of them. They don't have to worry about the bills. They don't have to worry about anything else. They don't have to worry about the food. They just get called, you know. You open the screen door, supper time, and they come running, and then they get in. The supper's on the table. Food's already cooked. They don't have to worry about that. They're carefree, you know. And so many times, again, if we want to go back to last Wednesday and the last verse of Matthew chapter 6, take therefore, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's just like a little kid. They don't take thought about tomorrow. Why worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow's another day. They're going to get up and they're going to play and they're going to go and they're going to do and they're going to just be all over the place. And then they're going to wear themselves out and go to sleep. And then the next day, do it all over again. You know, and so it's interesting, you know, as adults we just get too burdened down with life that we get away from being childlike. And he tells the disciples, accept ye and become as little children. So when we enter into conversion, faith in Jesus Christ and become a son of God, then we shouldn't care. We should trust. And that's my, they're trusting. But I want to warn some things too. These little kids, and I tried not to, I mean, there's times, and I've got extended family members used to drive me nuts. And I don't think that I'd done any of it, but if I did, it was very little with my 7. You know, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These little kids coming up, you know, I've had extended family members, uncles or whatever, and they're doing it in jesting, and they're doing it in fun, and they're not, you know, they're doing it without thinking about the repercussions of it. But you get this very small children, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe not 6, because by 6, a lot of them's done marked them. But some of the littler kids, the little bitty ones, you know, they're trusting, but they're impressionable. Right. To the point where if you're constantly jesting with them in a way that's not the truth, you know. Amen. Hey, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, I got your nose. Well, that, you know, you do stuff like that. They think that you really got your nose. I mean, eventually, you know, they get that. Here, let me put it back on. You know, that's maybe something that I've done, but there's some of my family members, they would just basically lie to my, you know, to the little kids. And then, but these are the little kids that are impressionable. So if you lie to them enough, then when you do try to tell them the truth about you share Jesus, you know what I'm saying? And we kind of hit Santa Claus, the other day, and we kind of hit Easter Bunny the other day, you know, and Halloween's right here up on us, and it's just, I mean, anyway. So my neighbors got it, their front porch is all decorated up. I asked Brother Glenn, I said, so I guess the front porch light is one of the signals that you're not handing out candy, right? If you leave it off, he said, I just leave. I said, that might be an idea. Time to go out to eat tonight. But anyway, just the lies that comes out of it all. Amen. And if you continue, I mean, beyond I got your nose, you know, and things like that. You got to be very careful because they are impressionable. They're trusting. You know, and that's what we should be with, you know, as a child of God. And we know adults. We could probably name the adult, amen, that won't take this book at face value, that thinks it says more than it says or doesn't, is supposed to say it a different way. But this is the way. I mean, we should just be trusting. God said it. That settles it. Amen. You know, and just take it in childlike faith and just trust God's word to be God's word. And like I said, and I think a lot of the times the way that people are is because of some dishonest or some sort of something that has mishandled the word of God before them and when they were a baby in Christ. And then that's what has made them the way that they are as an adult in Christ. It was just sad. And we got to be very careful. He warned his disciples. He said, you are to become as a child. But then he went on to say, be careful not to offend one of these little ones that comes my way. And be careful how you go. Offenses will come, but woe unto the one that it comes from. You got to be careful, and we got to be careful. And although I'm talking about the little bitty ones, you know, I mean they're helping with their nieces. They got to be careful. They're in their home. I mean, you got to just be careful. But then at the same time, that little one could be a full grown adult that's brand new in Christ, and they're impressionable. They are trusting. I mean, they're here. They got saved here. Basically, what's presented to them in the Sunday school time, what's presented to them in the preaching time, we need to really pray that we don't mishandle the Word of God, because a new babe in Christ is impressionable, just like we all ought to be as a child of God. But then I want to get to this. They're trusting and carefree, and so they just have faith that God's going to take care of them. We should be trusting in that way. And sometimes it's, and I'll just put it out here, well, anyway, I'll just put it out this way. I was speaking with someone recently who told me that they're struggling and felt that sometimes they maybe overthink things, overthink the gospel, overthink salvation, overthink what it takes to become a child of God. You know, and sometimes that's an issue. Sometimes we do overthink things because we are who we are as an adult. But we're to become or to be converted and become as a little child. So one of the examples that I've used in the past is actually to take a little child. This is dangerous because sometimes they think that they could, but I could take Ralph, I could take some of Regina's little ones and just stand them up here and say, jump. And you know what they would do? Without a second thought, they would just jump right into your hands. They wouldn't give it no thought. Why? Because they would see that I had the potential or the power to catch them. They would also see, now I wouldn't tell them to jump if I was way over here because I wouldn't be in proximity. I tried to alliterate a little bit. But if I was close enough, and I'm big enough to catch them, and I'm close enough to, for them to make the jump, they would have no problem jumping. And then, for sake of alliteration, I put the passion. I would care for them enough. I wouldn't just go, jump, whoop, just let them fall. They would be trusting enough to me, not only because I was close enough, but I was big enough and strong enough to catch them. And then I love them enough to actually catch them and not let them fall. Amen. And that's the way salvation ought to be, is just that we realize that God is close enough, God is powerful enough, and God loves us enough, He's passionate enough, He loves us enough, that we can just put our faith and just be to the point where we can just jump and expect to be caught. Now, I'm not talking about, and this is one of my weaknesses, if you want to call it that way, because I have a tendency just to be that way. You know, almost to the point of fatalism, and I have to look up the word fatalism again to make sure that you know, if God's going to take care of me no matter what, and just leave it at that. Now, you can get that way, which you don't, but God also says, ask, and it shall be given. You know, God does want to hear from us, just like the heavenly, just like I want to hear from my children. If they have a need, I won't know about their need unless they come to me with the need. Even though God knows about our need, He still wants you to come to Him with a need. But I have a tendency of just saying, well, God's done it all those times before. I'm His child. You know, He's going to do it for me again. So I get to the place where I stop asking, and that's not God's way. Amen. Amen. God wants me to come to Him and ask and trust in faith, believing that He has the power to answer my prayer, that He has the passion, that He loves me enough to answer my prayer, that He is close enough for me to hear Him, for Him to hear me. Amen. So he's all those things. And just as the little child would just jump off of the counter there, the table there, into our arms, we should have, as a child, that kind of faith in the Lord. We should have that kind of trust in the Lord in all of the things that, when it comes down to it. Too many times we just wring our hands and just we worry and we, you know, so on and so forth, you know. And I mean, I just want to testify. God's been good to me, you know, and I know, and I've, like I mentioned one of the other services, you know, people's concern, you know, sitting down and looking at the books and paying the bills and so on and so forth and looking maybe when I get my first paycheck from the other. And I mean, I'm just telling you, it's just right there. And God is just in it, and it just all is falling into place, and I'm seeing it. And it's amazing to watch God. But I've got that much trust in God. You know, I do have a Heavenly Father that's close enough that I can bow. And that, again, it flabbergasts me to know that when I get down on my knees right over there or right here or anywhere else, one of my knees is giving me problems. So pray for that. But I get down on my knee and I say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I bow before You. That's just like Him picking up the phone and saying, yes, son. Or better yet, it's just like Him saying, yes, son, I'm right here. And then, in Jesus' name, I'm carrying this to You. Of course, there's that in the same chapter here, verse number 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of My Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. So when we come in tonight and we gathered in Jesus' name in prayer, Jesus is in the midst of us. God is in the midst of us. And we can trust that. And we can trust the fact that He hears us. If we pray in Jesus' name like He asked us to in John chapter 14, that He hears us. And we can trust Him to answer our prayer, like it says here in verse 19 and John chapter 14. But sometimes the answer is no. Daddy, can't. In fact, I heard it. Where was I at? I was at Dollar General getting some birthday cards for my oldest two grandchildren. So I'm standing there looking at the cards, and a woman and her son comes in, and so the cards are here, and all the food aisles are right here. And this is a 12, 13-year-old youngin', maybe. Probably something running there. And he's like, "Mom, can I have this?" She said, "No." "Mom, can I have that?" "No." "Mom, can I have one of these?" "No. You've had too much caffeine. You don't need no more caffeine," you know. That was the conversation. And then so she's passing by me and looks, we make eyes. She just this exasperated look, and he's right behind. "Mama, can I?" He got to the point where he was taunting his mama, just going saying, "Mama, can I? Mama, can I? Mama, can I?" You know. But lots of times we go to our Heavenly Father and say, "Can I?" But because He knows what's best for us, because He loves us, it might be no. And we've got to trust in that. Sometimes we don't see that. Little kids sometimes don't see that. But that's why, in other words, because they're impressionable and they're learning, is to actually say, don't just say no. Sometimes give them the reason. Sometimes no is good enough. We've all been there. Why? Because I said so. But sometimes it is good to go ahead and explain to them. "Don't touch the eye of that stove." Why? "It's hot, and if you touch it, it will burn you." Now, some will take that and be good with it. Others are going to go and have to learn it the hard way. And that's the way we are too. We should trust God to say, "No, that's not good for you. That's good enough." But sometimes we want to go, "Ow, that hurt. Mom was right. Dad was right. Dad was right. It's all right here. He tells us." But so many times we're flesh that we wrestle against often, and we want to have to learn it the hard way. Jonah had to learn it the hard way. Others in the Word of God had to learn it the hard way. Instead of just obeying God. God said, "Go to Nineveh." Jonah went the other way. Jonah went down. God took him up, spit him on the beach, and he went to Nineveh. He done what the Lord wanted him to do, but he done it the hard way. He could have just went straight away and done it. But he didn't approach it right. So too many times we act as little children, but rebellious little children. But we should be trustful, trusting little children, carefree little children, tender, caring, and trusting His power, trusting His passion, and trusting His proximity. And that's my message tonight. And it should be that way. Just consider the children. As you look around, consider how they are. Consider how we ought to be. And we can just trust God in it all. And just have the faith of a child. I've thought about titling it that, but I brought this other stuff out too. Faith as a child. And just trust Him and heed His instruction, both good and, well, heed His instruction and heed His warnings in the Word of God. Amen. And just knowing that He knows what's best for us. And He loves us, and He's going to give us what is best for us. So sometimes His answer is no, and sometimes it's wait a while. I prayed for a place. As Brother Hall would say, I prayed for my persimmon tree for a long time. But the Lord knew where, and the Lord knew when. And I just had to trust Him for the where and the when. And the Lord knew the where and the when for you guys too. Amen. And so, if we just see Him working in it, but just let Him work in everything, every little aspect of our lives. Brother Chris talking about eventually getting another vehicle for Sister Marquis. I know a man, I know two men that, one learned, and this is over exaggerating. But, almost wouldn't go down and buy toilet paper unless it, but that's exaggerating. but especially when it comes to vehicles, he wanted God's will in every purchase, in every major purchase. He wanted God's will because, and I know a fella that bought a vehicle and he just, it was one that he wanted and not necessarily one that God wanted. And he didn't have it in no time. And a teenage boy T-boned him in the side of the car and totaled it. And he knew as soon as it happened. He knew when he rolled off the car lot that he had done made a mistake. He knew it. So pray about things. Ask God for. I mean, my kids are they still call me. Hey, Dad. They still call Mom. Hey, Dad. What about this? Hey, Dad. How do you do this? Hey, you know that recipe that you made? Hey, how do you do that? So they're still calling and seeking instruction and seeking guidance. We should do the same thing to our Heavenly Father. As a trusting, carefree, impressionable young person in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray and ask that you take the message, simple thoughts, but Lord, you gave us the instruction that we ought to be as children. And I ask and pray that you'd help us, Lord, just to be to put away the cares of this life, and Lord, to ask you about things, to allow you to guide us in our paths, as we read in Proverbs chapter 3, and to acknowledge you and allow you to guide us and direct us in everything, knowing that you will not lead us wrong, that you'll lead us in the right way. And Lord, just help us, Lord, to be caring about others and not to be prejudiced toward anybody. Carrying them the gospel. And I ask and pray that, Lord, they'll see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and, Lord, that they'll glorify you from the light that they see in us, according to thy word. And I ask and pray these things, that you just take this message, help us, Lord, to consider the children and how we ought to be like them and your example. And I ask and pray that you would, Lord, send revival to us and help us to see these lost family members and friends and acquaintances that we've been praying for come to know Christ as their Savior before it's everlastingly too late. And I ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Let's have a